Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
It is the Brett Witterble Show, News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. Wonderful to be here with you in the Queen City. Our phone number, as always, 704-570-1110. Three big things to know this hour. Three stories that we'll talk about, plus take your phone calls. Next hour, Rob Tofano comes by, and we're going to talk about the reopening of everything, especially through the lens of law enforcement. What we learned from this horrible mass shooting over in San Jose a couple of days ago. And, of course, the latest on the officer-involved shooting from just yesterday. But let's begin with this. The question is whether or not you trust your people in Washington, D.C. to govern. Do you trust them to govern? Why do I ask that question? Because we've got a couple of big examples that have to get right to the center of the issue. And among those are going to be the January 6th commission debate, the inability of Chuck Schumer to control the Senate, and, of course, one other big surprise. You're going to want to stick around for that. But first, we head on over to Breaking Brett Jensen, Brett_Jensen on Twitter, and welcome him to the program. Brett Jensen, good to have you here. I know you've been pursuing a number of different storylines. Share with the audience what you've been working on this day.
Well, we literally just, within minutes, just got off of finished with a press conference with Dina Diorio, Dr. Meg Sullivan, the county health, basically the doctor of the county, if you will, and then and Gibby Harris, the health director. So we just finished with that. Basically, just going over, basic numbers. Positivity rate, Brett, in Mecklenburg County is 3%. Mm-hmm. So that's the lowest, obviously, we've seen in, basically since this thing started. And also, just basically how they're trying to still encourage people to get vaccinated, $40 gift cards, stuff like that. We saw that Gavin Newsom just announced not long ago that they're going to have a $15 million lottery that like five people or something like that or 10 people will be able to split. And everyone else, the first 2 million people will get $50 gift cards. So essentially they're trying to bribe people to get vaccinated. And if that's what it takes for the county and the states to reach their goal by giving away some of the money, so be it. But just remember, the money you're giving away is taxpayers' money. So just remember
right.
that.
Right. It's not free money. It's coming out of the coffers. In terms of that very thing, I want to work in a big storyline from overseas that may be relevant to us here. And it's this. We now are seeing the emergence of the digital coronavirus passport for travel abroad coming in the form of Denmark, Copenhagen. The Danish government on Friday presented its digital coronavirus passport, enabling people to travel abroad or in Denmark or to go to the hairdresser, a tattoo parlor, to dine inside a restaurant or wherever else it might be needed. We're a little slower on this one, and I'm happy about that as an American. But if we're going to start bribing these folks to comply, there's going to have to be an upside for people who have already complied, I imagine. There's going to be pushback. What's your reaction to these digital coronavirus passport conversations?
From a personal standpoint, because I'm planning a big trip and a big international trip this summer and, for 2 weeks, hopefully going through Europe and Asia. And the point is that if getting able to do that means I have to show a digital passport that I've been fully vaccinated to travel internationally. I have no issues with that. It's no different than having to have a green card to or a visa or even a passport, just a regular passport. So I don't have necessarily an issue with that. Mm-hmm. Now, if you have to have a vaccination passport to go to the hairdresser in Fort Mill, mm-hmm. now I'm bothered by that. Or whatever. If you have to show to go into a certain business, then I'm bothered because I think that's violating civil rights and civil liberties. But at the same point, I don't have an issue with it. If Denmark wants me to be fully vaccinated before I go into Denmark, well, then so be it. That's Denmark's right as a country. But again, so I don't have an issue with that. If it's going to allow me to go to countries this summer, then mm-hmm. so be it. To me, that really doesn't bother me. It really doesn't.
But are you concerned that there will be creeping sort of socialism coming into the United States? It starts off as an idea over there. Suddenly now it's an idea over here.
Well, I mean, look, if you're the country, obviously the United States is not going to allow or implement vaccination passports for other residents, because otherwise nobody from the south of the border would ever get in.
So
there's that.
Yes.
Right? I mean, let's be honest. And so we've got that. But so I don't, you know, like, I don't think that anyone here locally within our country, well, I don't, because there would be so many lawsuits immediately filed upon that. So I don't think that would be the case here. I just don't think there's the wherewithal for it. I mean, I know never say never, but sure. I just don't see that being an issue here in terms of being able to go places or do things without having been fully vaccinated. I just don't see that being the problem. I mean, we already know the NFL is opening up the entire stadiums. 30 of the 32 stadiums are going to be 100% capacity, no masks, and they're not going to ask whether or not you've been vaccinated or not. They're not going to have sections that say, oh, yeah, vaccinated over here and then the unwashed over here. So they're not doing that. So I don't see that being an issue here. But again, in terms of getting into Denmark or Poland or wherever, then if that's the case, then so be it.
What's the big storyline you're going to be looking at in the next couple of days here? Anything you're working on or that you're watching closely as we move into the Memorial Day weekend?
The biggest story that we're watching, as a matter of fact, I asked Dina DiIorio today the only non-related COVID question was whether or not, since their meeting on Tuesday, if CMS has reached out to them directly or indirectly, and she said no. And so on Tuesday, our first day back, Brett, from the holiday, is when the county will officially vote to withhold the $56 million from CMS, which will then likely start the ball rolling for arbitration and mediation and everything else.
Okay, final question for you. This is not related to anything heavy duty or whatever, but it's more of a generational question for you. Molly Ringwald recently revealed that when she watches her teen films, you know, she has three kids, she says, I always sympathize with the parents. Does that make you feel old?
It does, because I had a crush on Molly back in the day, dude. 16 Candles.
Pretty in Pink.
And, I mean, all of that. I am a Molly Ringwald fan, and it really upset me when she became all artistic, moved to France, and quit making movies. And so, but now she's back.
She's a mom of three.
I know. It does make me feel old. Watching 16 Candles and then realizing that's a mom of three, that bothers me.
Well said, well put, well played. All right, man. Enjoy the weekend. Appreciate you coming in and breaking it down for us.
No problem, Brett. I appreciate it, buddy.
Take care. That's Brett Jensen. I'm Brett.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
News Talk 1110 993 WBT 704-570-1110 is the phone number to be a part of the conversation. You know, totally off topic and not even relevant to what we're talking about, but we got into a conversation about this during the commercial break. Does nobody plank anymore? Did planking stop? Because I was telling a story off the air to TJ about somebody that I worked with at another radio station who would come in during commercial breaks into the air studio and plank for the duration of the break, and which is weird enough on its face, but now I don't think anybody planks anymore. It was like really hot in 2016 or 15, wasn't it? And that's just like complete. They had like planking championships and stuff. I don't understand whatever happened. Does it not work? Does it not work anymore? Because I remember there were people who plunked. What's the past tense of planking? Plunking? Planking? Planked? Well,
plunked.
Plunked. Jim Plunkett. What a quarterback once in the day. But then the thing was, it wasn't just that you were planking. They would then put like a 5 or a 10 pound weight on your lower back to add to the challenge of the plank, which is great because when I go to stand up, I want that to just drop on the back of my feet. I mean, that is just a great call right there. It's just an observation, folks. Don't take it personally. 704-570-1110. Senate Republicans have blocked the bill to establish a January 6th commission. So they actually were able to pull it together. go into the Senate and stop the January 6th commission. Now, I have been of two minds on the January 6th commission. I have contended, and I said this on the air, that if the January 6th commission is going to happen, I want the Republicans to be a part of the commission. I don't want it to be Adam Schiff and Jerry the Nad Nadler and the rest of those folks just issuing partisan Democratic subpoenas. And what's going to happen now is, since the Senate doesn't advance this January 6th commission, those committees in the House are going to do their own investigation, and it's going to be all controlled by the Democrats. So get ready. Fang Fang Swalwell and Jerry the Nad Nadler and Maxine Waters and all those folks that are chairing committees are just going to do subpoenas for Republicans to come in and talk about why you're Nazis. And that's what's going to end up happening. But that being the case, I think this is an opportunity to look them square in the eye and say, you've got prosecutions underway. You've got 400 cases going after the people who breached the Capitol. You've got all this sort of stuff, but you refuse to secure the Mexican border still. So there is going to be a healthy contrast there. But the vote occurred after a lengthy delay, after Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer failed to get the Endless Frontier Act through the Senate. This is issue number two. I do a podcast called Devious Motives, and I'm kind of diving into these devious motives here. Everybody was afraid that Chuck Schumer was going to do to Georgia, going to do to America what he said he did to Georgia. Remember, he said, first we're going to do it to Georgia, then we're going to do it to America. And we all got scared. We all got frightened. And we said, okay, this is a really scary reality. Who knows what he's going to be pushing through? Well, last night showed you the limits of Chuck Schumer's power. And I'm going to tell you this right now. Chuck Schumer's new Secret Service code name is Low T, because he can't deliver the goods. He cannot deliver the goods. Here's the situation. Last night, there's a bill that comes on the floor called the Endless Frontier Act. And it sounds like a weird name for a bill, right? You're like, what is the Endless Frontier Act? What the Endless Frontier Act would do is something very important. It would check Chinese influence in the United States. It would stop China from being able to do some of the things that they've tried to do, setting up Confucius Institutes on college campuses, setting up institutions that affect public debate or public policy in the United States without the disclosure of what it was that they do. The bill called the Endless Frontier Act is meant as a U.S. counter to the Chinese Communist Party's agenda that'll fund research institutions in America to the tune of more than $100 billion. That's how much money the Chinese want to pour into the United States. You want to know why there's a CRT debate? You want to know why there's unrest in the cities? You want to know why there's hard leftists getting elected to the district attorney's offices, attorney general's offices? This is what it is. It's because you've got a careful shaping by Xi Jinping of the narrative in the United States of America. And so Ron Johnson from Wisconsin, who may not be everybody's cup of tea, but, you know, even a broken clock is right twice a day. So if you hate Ron Johnson as a Democrat, you can at least respect the fact that he's trying to check Chinese influence in the United States. And this is merely the vehicle that was on the floor of the Senate last night when all hell broke loose. And here's what I mean by this. What should have been a pretty fast vote on this electronic frontier bill to check Chinese power. It feels really weird to say check Chinese power. I feel like it's like a tongue twister forming. But that bill was supposed to only go for a few hours, and then the January 6th commission bill was going to come up. Well, this ended up in a massive mess because you had amendments and manager's amendments and all these procedural goofy things that go on in the United States Senate. People like Chris Coons, Democrat from Delaware, was seen walking off the floor saying, this is crazy. I'm going to go drink and then I'm going to take a nap. That's what he said. It was a quote as he left the floor. He was so frustrated. A number of other senators were just shaking their heads going, this is a complete mess. Why? Chuck Schumer doesn't know how to manage the Senate. He doesn't know how to control the power. Say whatever you want to say about the turtle. Say whatever you want to say about Cocaine Mitch. Remember when that guy running against him was calling him Cocaine Mitch? So say whatever you want to say about Mitch. Say whatever you want to say about, and I'm sorry, about the Harry Reid. The Harry Reid and Mitch, they knew how to wield power. Schumer has no idea. He's flummoxed. He is flummoxed. He is confused. And as a consequence, what's going to likely happen next is any of these big bills, the $6 trillion in spending, the H.R. 1, the gun grabbing stuff, they're probably all going to fail. Biden is going to come up short time and time again unless Schumer is able to somehow jury-rig the situation so that you end up with the filibuster getting killed. So issue number two is whether or not the Democrats are able to govern in the Senate. 80 million went for Joe Biden. That was the narrative. But you've got a tiny, tiny majority in the House, 5, 6, 7 votes, depending on who shows up on a given day. And then in the Senate, 1-vote margin. The Republicans don't have to compromise if they don't want to compromise. And there's almost no blowback because simultaneous to all this will be number three.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
The broader culture.
News Talk 1110-993 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show.
So remember the officer that was fired for mocking LeBron James? He was the Idaho police officer that the video went viral where he acts like he's watching a crime take place, that somebody's getting ready to stab somebody else, and he calls LeBron James and says, "What am I supposed to do? I need you to tell me how to handle this because I clearly don't know how to handle a guy with a knife." And he got in a little bit of trouble. Then there was a widespread effort to raise money for him on a GoFundMe because he was suspended. Well, the police department in Idaho then fired him. He has now been fired. In April, Officer Sylvester made national news after his viral TikTok video slamming the NBA star LeBron James for getting involved in police work. James was attacked by many, including Sylvester, for posting a video of a white cop with the caption, "You're next." The NBA star soon deleted the image and gave a non-apology apology for having posted it. In his viral video, Officer Sylvester, who's seen in uniform sitting in a squad car, pretended to have a phone conversation with him and was asking, you know, "Well, what do I do in terms of this situation or that situation?" And the rest is sort of history. But apparently he violated the rules as a police officer in Bellevue, Idaho. Mayor Ned Burns insisted Sylvester was fired for several violations of department policy, not just the TikTok video. The officer said that no past violations of policy were ever given much notice until after the video came out. "None of my other videos that depicted me in uniform or involving body camera footage, none of those mattered. They didn't care about those. It wasn't until my LeBron James TikTok struck a political nerve that they started to pay attention and complain about it and came up with forms of discipline." So that officer has now been removed from the force. My guess is he'll probably find work someplace else. I'm guessing that some police department will reach out and attempt to employ him in that regard. Marxism just doesn't pay the way it used to once upon a time. The co-founder of Black Lives Matter announced yesterday that she is stepping down as the executive director of the movement's foundation. She decried what she called a smear campaign from a far-right group, but said neither that nor the recent criticism from other black organizers influenced her departure. Patrice Cullors, who had been at the helm of the Black Lives Matter Global Network Foundation for 6 years, said she's leaving to focus on other projects, including the upcoming release of her second book and a multi-year TV development deal with Warner Brothers. Her last day with the foundation is today. "I've created the infrastructure and the support and the necessary bones for the foundation. I can leave now." Cullors told the Associated Press, "It feels like the time is right." Remember, this all occurred against the revelations that the 37-year-old activist, who's a self-identifying Marxist, trained Marxist advocate, was caught with a number of questions surrounding her about whether or not she bought a bunch of real estate, how it was she was spending money, those sorts of questions. And those are questions that weren't just raised by right-wing media. Many of those questions were raised by activists in the community who were saying, "Okay, what are we doing here? How's this going to work? What's going to happen? Where did the money go?" And she says, "You know what? As a trained, committed Marxist, I'm out the door. I'm not going to do this anymore. As a Marxist, I'm going to go work my TV development deal with Warner Brothers, which is what all communists would do, right? I mean, forget the struggle for the workers. Workers of the world, unite. That is so 1876. These days, it's, I'm a communist, give me a TV development deal or else. Well, she's got the deal. So we'll see how that works. I wish her nothing but the best in terms of success moving down the road. 704-570-1110. We go out now, ladies and gentlemen. Jim is on the phone. Jim, welcome to the program. What's on your mind today, sir?
Yes. Hello, how are you? You know, I hope in kind all the people over at MSNBC, CNN, and all the other networks start getting paid the same amount of money that people at Pravda used to make. And, you know, I hope they start paying him in dong, too. But
dong?
Other than that...
In dong?
That's the Chinese currency.
Oh, okay. I thought it was the yuan, but okay. Okay, very good. Continue.
Pay him in Chinese currency, whatever it is. Anyway,
well, you said you hope that they pay him in dong, and I'm going, well, okay. But go ahead. Continue, please.
I stuck my head out of my foxhole here, looked around. I noticed one of our brethren hasn't checked in about a week. Have you heard from Terry?
No, we have not heard from Terry. This is an interesting question that you raise. See, Jim is sort of occupies a very interesting part of real estate on this program, because you are a very astute observer of things, and until you said that, I hadn't really thought about it. Not that I don't think about all my callers, but I hadn't really thought about that circumstance. And I hope Terry does check in, because we haven't heard from him for about a week or so. Maybe he's taking a vacation. Maybe he was, you know, it's entirely possible he was offended by something you said, Jim, and he's decided to isolate himself, or something that perhaps TJ said, or the coach, Boomer, Anna. He certainly wouldn't be offended by anything I said, because, you know, I'm all about it. What else is on your mind, sir?
Well, if we talk to him, let him know I mean no disrespect. I honor him and what he stands for. He is Americana typified, and I would do nothing but kneel at his feet if I met him.
Well, what are you doing? No, we're not talking about Chinese dong money, and we're not talking about we're kneeling. We are a constitutional republic. We stand on our feet,
yeah.
And we greet each other respectfully with a laurel and hearty handshake. And that's what we
all
do,
right,
Jim.
I'll give him my best Ronald Reagan handshake.
That's very nice. Okay. All right. That's Jim.
Oh.
Check. What happened?
By the way, if you have multiple people planking, are they plankton?
Wow. That's a high note right there. You know what you get on that one? You get the bellboy call right there on that one. There we go. Whew. Are you plankton? You know, we had the show going.
Yeah.
Josh, get your stethoscope out. 342.01. That was when we, unfortunately, we just careened. We just went, you know what we were doing? We're out there taking practice laps at CM over Lowe's Motor Speedway. We're out there taking practice laps, and we lose the handling. We lose the handling on the right rear tire, and we just spin and clip the wall. And that's what happened. 704-570-1110. I'm hoping none of that's happening on the roadway to Boomer Bach, but my God.
Hey, Jim's on the roll, wasn't he?
He was. You know what he was? He was tight in, loose off.
Yes! Scrape.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Hey, coming up at the top of the hour, my good friend Rob Tufano is going to come by. We're going to talk about a bunch of great stuff. Memorial Day weekend. What a different Memorial Day weekend this is going to be compared to last year, which is good stuff. I want to talk to Tom. Let me get Tom. Hey, Tom, welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Laurel and Hardy, good afternoon to you, sir.
You too, sir.
This is a Memorial Day weekend.
Yes, sir.
I had a really great experience a couple of months ago where I got hooked up with two Marines in my platoon in Vietnam.
Wow.
And we got hooked up via Facebook, and... we were in Gainesville, Georgia, and we just reminisced about the times we were there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And my sister and mother made an album of all the pictures I sent back. And their wives could not believe how we lived. But it was a great experience. And this is how I'd relate that on a Memorial Day weekend.
It's a great story. And I so appreciate your service to this nation. And I'm happy to see that finally your generation is being recognized for that sacrifice when you weren't appropriately respected or recognized for it at the time. And, you know, I would ask this question to you at this stage, because it's your experience and your generation looking at, you know, where we are in the world today. Are you as confident today in what our armed forces are able to carry out as you were back then when you were a much younger man?
No, I am not. I can relate a story here.
Sure.
When I came back, I had Agent Orange, mm-hmm. and all the effects of that.
Wow.
And PTSD for anger.
Sure.
And Obama and Biden and Nancy Pelosi, they were afraid of reprisals by military.
Mm-hmm.
And they... through the veterans, but it was they asked questions. If you were depressed during your time in Vietnam in combat,
right?
Well, let's see. You know, eating World War II sea rations.
Yep.
And we got Agent Orange, and oh yeah, getting shot at every now and then.
Yeah.
And so. They asked if I was depressed,
mm-hmm.
and I said no. I said no comment. And then they asked if I had a weapon.
Oh, here we go.
Personal weapon,
right?
And I said no comment.
Mm-hmm.
But a friend of mine answered yes to both of them, and he was kicked out of the Marine Corps, and his weapon was confiscated.
Wow.
Because they consider him a danger, mm-hmm. to the people in Washington.
Yeah, it's frustrating. I remember that April 2009 memo that went out, Tom, and warned that returning veterans would be likely to join extremist groups and things like that. Department of Homeland Security. That was one of the first orders of business that came out of that administration. And to me, watching that take place over a decade ago. And watching what we're seeing take place now with this notion of everybody in the military is an extremist, or there's extremism all over the military, you know, it feels that there's an element in the government that feels very comfortable or entitled to label people, men and women, who sign up to give their very lives for our freedoms and for this nation, and they feel very comfortable questioning their commitment as members of the military and as patriots. And that is very disturbing to me.
It is. Obama and Biden and Pelosi,
mm-hmm.
They got rid of, in the NCOs, E6s up to E9s.
Mm-hmm.
And these were the guys that were training our military in boot camp.
Right.
And they also got rid of officers, you know, first lieutenants up until majors.
Yeah.
And these people were also guiding, mm-hmm. Teaching the military in boot camp.
Yeah, you have to have that knowledge base, and you have to have that reservoir of experience to train the next generation. And I thank you so much for reflecting on your time in the service. And we respect your service so much and appreciate what you did so that we can have these conversations in freedom on the radio, my friend.
Okay. Thank you, Brett.
Thank you, Tom. Be well out there. That's Tom checking in. And that's an important message. Yeah, I had the pleasure earlier this week in attending you know, it's that time of the year when you get to the high schools and you've got the athletic banquets, the track team banquets, that sort of stuff. But I also got to go to a Navy ROTC, a junior ROTC celebration of a corps of cadets that were getting their awards and promotions at the end of the year. And what is so remarkable to me, and this is such a special group of people, these kids that are in high school right now, high school up into college, they're technically Gen Z, but what they've had as a shared experience, I think, is fascinating. When they were kids, I mean little kids, you had the mortgage meltdown in 2008. Then they went through the years with Obama, Biden being in the administration. Then in 2017, they saw the economy take off like a shot, like a rocket. And then what they saw was the coronavirus come in and lay us as low as we've been laid since the Great Depression. They watched the arc of American crisis, mediocrity, greatness, and crisis. These are going to be the most resilient men and women when they grow up. And watching their resolve and looking at their leaders, both student leaders who are the senior members of the Corps, and at their teachers and commanders that are helping to lead these young men and women. And no matter what they do in their life, whether they go into the military or they go to college or they get a trade or whatever it is, these young people are much tougher than we think they are. These are not the soft as silly putty millennials. And I don't mean any disrespect to the millennials, but these kids are iron. And you know where the iron is? It's not the outside. It's they got a core, a strong core inside them, because they've seen a lifetime of transition in about 20 years, give or take. Very reminiscent of what it is that we have seen take place over the course of time, especially with that Depression era generation who would be asked to go and hit the beaches in Normandy to free people with whom they had no organic connection, farm boys and city dwellers, and poor people and privileged people who were able to go out and to liberate the world from under the boot heel of National Socialism, Japanese militarism, of Italian fascism, and then ultimately Soviet communism. And they came back and they didn't want to talk about it, which is really remarkable. 704-570-1110. Rob Tufano joins me next. News Talk 1110-993 WBT.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT, Brett Winterbull Show. Our phone number is 704-570-1110, and I am thrilled to be joined in studio, one of my favorite people in the whole world, not just Charlotte, but in the whole world, Rob Tufano from CMPD. Good to have you in, man.
I'm thrilled to be back twice in 1 week, man.
This is good. Your bookending, right?
I'll tell you what.
You start in the beginning, and you wrap it up at the end. So you had a very eventful Monday with Bo Thompson in that 9 a.m. hour, because you had big-time progress taking place with the Terry pursuit down in Lancaster County, right?
Yeah, it wasn't too soon thereafter. We spent an hour in the morning just ripping it up some, and before you know it, not soon thereafter, we get off the air, and about a couple of minutes later, they had him in custody without resistance, without any issues, and, I mean, gosh, the work that they put into apprehending them, getting him to surrender, and done peacefully, and... You know, that happens more frequently than one,
right?
Some imagine, you know, those never make the headlines, but just bang up work.
Yeah. Well, it's incredible. And maybe you want to talk about this just for a quick second, Rob, how that's coordinated, because you have a lot of different agencies that are involved. State police, you've got cities, you got towns, you got counties. Obviously, York County was involved. How do you do this? Is there a unified command structure with that?
It's exactly how they do it. They have a unified command. They set up command posts there And this went on for more than 24 hours out there, more than 200 law enforcement representatives from a variety of different agencies in South Carolina. And, yeah, more strict. And, you know, it looks like organized chaos when you're looking from the air, up the helicopters and from a distance. But they knew what they were doing. They did it well. And it was all done under the structure of a unified command.
And that's a hugely important thing, because once upon a time you would have been sort of running around with your chicken with your head cut off of, right, a little bit. But you've got, because I imagine with all those, with all that manpower, it's night, it's dark, you got to know where people are, where they're, and you also have to be tactically aware not to be giving up your position. You got a lot of scanner bugs out there trying to listen and hear what's going on. That's got to be a challenge.
And so many moving parts when you have that many representative, law enforcement representatives on the ground there, you know, making sure that every, you know, you got to remember the heat and making sure people are sleeping and hydrating, and just so much detail that really, you really need to be mindful of. And it's just so impressive to see that all come together to the extent that it did. And, got a bad guy in custody.
Yep.
Hopefully he'll be held to account, and good on all the folks down on the other side of the border.
He sought bail. I mean, his lawyer said, we try to get bail.
Wasn't successful.
You've been on the road for 7 days. The bail's probably not going to end up happening your way.
They do things a little bit differently down on the other side of the border.
Is that how it works?
Yeah, sure.
Well, they did go to two different judges. And look, it's not lost on me, and I think it's important to understand this. We're in a tense time. And I watched nothing but 100% professional behavior by those officers who took him into custody. They cared for him. They were making sure he was getting a Gatorade and getting hydrated. He's obviously out in the woods for a week.
Absolutely.
And they're making sure that he's physically, doesn't have to go to the hospital or something. So that I think goes a long way to dispelling some of the crazy notions.
Well, and you know, that's the rule, not the exception. That's, you know, you take it back here locally, you know, with our SWAT team in Charlotte, our violent criminal apprehension team. These are the guys that are frequently out there trying to apprehend some of the most egregious offenders in our community. And believe it or not, they're the ones, when they do make those apprehensions, that have the fewest number of use of force complaints, any type of misconduct complaints, courtesy complaints. They're professional. And it reflects, you know, that's just the reflection down there in South Carolina as well. So it doesn't come as a surprise to me. It may for some in society, but again, these are the things that rarely make the headlines.
Absolutely, and it's important to talk about it. Yesterday we had an officer-involved shooting take place here in Charlotte. Officer was fired on, responded. Can you talk a little bit about it without give? I know it's an ongoing case, an investigation, but in terms of what went down and how things kind of comported themselves.
So there was a suspect involved in a robbery and a shooting from back on the 25th in the area, in an area not too far from where yesterday's officer-involved shooting took place. They had a couple of patrol officers who had identified the suspect who they believed was involved in the earlier robbery, got out, attempted to approach him. He runs. They follow him, running. And at one point during that first pursuit, he has a weapon, fires that weapon. Officer returns fire, strikes the subject. Subject goes down. He's transported off to the hospital. Critical, but stable. Expected, at least the last I checked, to pull through. Mm-hmm. And officer placed on administrative leave. That's protocol. Anytime an officer fires his or her weapon, they're placed on administrative leave. As the state comes in, they'll do their investigation, a thorough independent investigation, make sure that the officer was aligned with the law. And then we've got an internal investigation going on right now to ensure that there are no policy violations and that the officer followed directives and protocol.
I mean, it does appear from at least the narrative in this story that this was a serial hotel robber or somebody that was looking to knock over hotels. Right?
Yeah, and they did establish subsequent to yesterday's shooting, they did their investigative work and they did determine that he was, in fact, the suspect involved in that robbery back on the 25th. So they were right in their instincts and the information that they had. And he's also charged with that robbery. Yeah, I don't think people realize or recognize just the toll that something like this takes on an officer. And, you know, I just had the occasion to review some of the footage associated with yesterday's shooting. And, you know, this young officer, it's gripping to see contrary to what you see on television and you hear and, you know, some news outlets, nobody gets up out of bed, you know, hoping that they have an opportunity to pull their gun out and, heaven forbid, have to use it. You know, he was really moved, this young guy, by having to take those actions that he took to stop that threat. And it's just really gripping I'm sure somebody will request a body-worn camera video footage of it at one point, and I think the community will be just as moved as I was.
You know, what strikes me is, and I think this is the other part of that equation that gets forgotten, you have many men and women who serve in law enforcement in a variety of capacities and cities and states and counties that, thank God, never get shot at. You don't ever have a round fired at you in anger or desperation. That has to change you, especially as a young officer. If it's the first time that that's happened, that you're going to go through that process of, okay, how close did I come to being on the wrong side of that? Is this what I want to be doing with my life? You're gonna have conversations with family members, your friends, going, what are you doing? Yeah. You know, you got a lottery ticket here. Yeah. You know, and that's I think that's something that's oftentimes overlooked too, Rob.
Yeah, I mean, this, you get back on this one for a second. I mean, they were mere feet apart,
right?
And you know, but through the grace of God, that this, you know, suspect missed this officer. And that's exactly what I kind of walked away with, having, you know, witnessed the body worn camera video footage of, mm-hmm. of the officer. You know, just the look on his face and his demeanor was like, man, that, I mean, I was a whisker away from losing my life here. I mean, this is, you know, this is life or death stuff. And to see it hit someone like a ton of bricks like that, I mean, it's really gripping. It really, really is.
And it's going to be something that's going to be playing in your head over and over again. You'll wake up in the middle of the night, and it's a huge issue. Let's continue this. I got a couple other things I want to look at, especially what's coming up here with Memorial.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Day weekend. It is the Brett Winterville Show, News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. Great to be here. Great to be here with you, each and every one of you. Rob Tufano in the house. We were talking about a couple of different things. Obviously, officer-involved shooting and the apprehension of Terry there at the beginning of the week. So, Rob, we saw something that's unfortunately been happening with increasing frequency, but it's been a little, it was certainly shocking to see what takes place at the VTA facility there in San Jose. Mass shooting, disgruntled employee of the transit authority there in San Jose. He gets out. He essentially lights his house on fire, sets a timed explosion inside of his house, and then goes to the job and starts gunning people down, shoots 9 people, and at one point comes up to one person that he's confronting and says, I'm not gonna shoot you, get out of here. He takes off, then he ends up shooting. He's got a bad track record, alcohol, bipolar, all that kind of stuff, rage issues. But let's talk a little bit about the fact that we're all getting back to normal now. We have to be tactically aware of our circumstances. We've been kind of sleeping on it a little bit during this last year with COVID. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, that tactical awareness and the challenges that are out there?
Whenever something like this emerges anywhere in the country, our phones start blowing up off the hook, and no exception. We offer active survival training. We bring that training into businesses, houses of worship, schools. And I mean, the calendar is usually hopping. Now it's really hopping when something like this happens. Shame that you need this kind of training.
Right.
But I mean, I think it's inescapable in today's society. You see things like just, you know, what cooked off in San Jose, and seems like there's a lot of it.
It does. Late.
And to your point now, you got COVID, it's somewhat evaporating, people going back into the workplace. So, you know, I was speaking with a good friend of mine who's arguably one of the most knowledgeable man on the face of the planet when it comes to active survival training. And I'm like, you know, give me some, you know, I remember when I was coming up and going in the police department, what they taught us, a lot of that's been debunked, you know, about hiding and trying to negotiate and talk your way out of it with the suspect. He's like, movement and distance is your best friend. Get out of Dodge, get yourself into a room. Get yourself into a room that's barricaded where you can get doors locked. Then you call 911. You don't wait, or you call 911 as soon as you hear the gunshots and just wait for police to get there, because it's going, you know, arguably going to be minutes before police get there. And
right.
Seconds are what really matter in a situation like this. Don't sit there and try to talk it out with the guy. You know, you're not going to negotiate with a lunatic, right?
Right,
right. There's just no way you're getting around that. So your survivability is just so much more likely if you put some movement and distance between you, get into those rooms and, you know, barricade those doors. Or if you find yourself in a situation, and you remember a couple of years back in UNCC, Riley Howell.
Right.
You know, get in there and fight.
Yep.
If you find yourself in a position like that, don't play dead, don't hide and fight if you have to fight, and get that gun away from him. And if you're with a group of people, bum rush this son of a gun.
Yep.
And you know, these are the elements of survivability that people really need to consider. I mean, you think about the synagogue shooting, mass shooting back in 2018,
right,
in Pittsburgh. You know, some of those people were sitting ducks. They were hiding in a closet, and you know, the gunman goes in there and just starts plunking them off. So, what we once knew years back, when these things weren't as common as they are now, really don't apply. Movement distance, lock yourself in a room, barricade that room, then call 911, or if you find yourself in a position where you could, fight and get that gun out of the hands of that lunatic.
I was talking to a forensic investigator this a number of years ago, and he had worked at Virginia Tech mass shooting, which was, you know, horrible, right, as that man starts walking through assassinating students in class. And he said the thing that struck him most and struck law enforcement most as they looked at that room, that classroom where this man was executing people were putting their heads down and he was killing them, how many of those desks had cups of coffee on them. And he said if somebody had the presence of mind, throw it in his face as he's coming up on you, you might have been able to stop. Now, you may not have been able to stop it, but he said it's that sort of thinking. You got a hot cup of coffee, boom. Just do something, like you said, to get that separation, get out of there, or disarm him, whatever it is. And that's that fight or flight. And I think there's probably a third F, which is people tend to freeze.
Right, and I think the instinct's like, yeah, I don't want to do anything to incite him. How much more inside?
Right, he's killing people.
Right, absolutely. I mean, does it get any more?
So what about these challenges now? Because look, we're going to have huge events this weekend. We're going to have all kinds of commemorations. We've got a race. We've got outdoor dining. People are getting together. It's the beginning of Pride Month in just a couple of days. Talk a little bit about, you know, obviously you don't want to give up tactical secrets, but how is CMPD kind of approaching this? You got to be, I mean, heads on swivels everywhere at this point.
And have been, but, you know, event by event, you know, nothing as far as the intelligence goes to indicate that anything's cooking
right,
off
of
any grand, you know, great magnitude. But, yeah, you know, we haven't missed a beat. Mm-hmm. I know the world and even the community's been on lockdown and quiet for the last year or so, but, you know, with the beat kept on with our folks and, you know, haven't missed a beat with any of that, and we'll continue to manage events as they develop, whether it's, you know, the bars and restaurants opening up at full capacity and Pride events and, you know, whatever it is that's developing, you know, we're always more than ready with an appropriate plan.
And the fact of the matter is, just regular folks walking around, you are eyes and ears too, so just you pay attention.
Yeah, and that can't be, and that's great, yeah. More often than not, it is community members, those eyes, you know, leaning on them for their eyes, their ears, having their mouths, you know, speak up and step up when they see something that doesn't sound or look right. And I know it's so cliche to see something, say something, it's white noise. But invariably, at the end of the day, it's more often than not, it's that stuff that we get from the community that really helps us, you know, resolve these things and squelch any kind of trouble that's coming down the pike.
All right. We've been nice. We've been giving generic advice, talking about important stuff like that. When we get back, you ready for some sharp elbow politics and talking about some of these mayors and some of these cities and what's going on?
Yeah. I was worried. I thought you were going to ask me about my black eye. Well, it's healing up now. But that's a story.
Oh, what are you doing?
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
I'm going to get that. News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. Brett Witterbull alongside my good friend Rob Tufano here at the show. We've covered a lot of real estate so far here, Rob.
I mean, just mess around.
We got a lot of stuff. So there I am minding my business, prepping the show at my house, and I see the coverage over there on the Fox News Channel. Running gun battle, New York City, 103rd Street, West Side.
Yeah, not too far from Columbia, right?
Right by Columbia University, where all the wealthy, connected people, the beautiful people go.
Upper crust,
telling us how to live our lives. Yeah. Those are also people that tell you can't have guns, right? And that those, but somehow these two guys had guns. Where they were wearing masks.
Well, you know, at least they were being responsible,
not,
right?
But not stocking masks or you know, pantyhose masks. They were wearing N95s as they shot at each other in front of a couple of cars. This is broad daylight, and you have been a very vocal critic and an eloquent critic on what it is that Bill de Blasio has done to the city of New York. And this has a trickle-down effect to, even to us here in Carolina from New York, because he's driven population out. He's made that city unlivable for the most part.
Flat out lawless.
It's a city that I say without reservation. I know you do, too. It's a city that you should love because it's an amazing place. To see where it was in 1995 to where it is now is a heartbreak.
Oh, it just perfect. Breaks your heart. Absolutely. Best city on the face of the planet. And to see what it's devolved into over the last couple of years because of mismanagement, corruption, politics creeping into public safety. You have about 15% of the police department there that have just left. They're gone. Gone. And, you know, the few who remain that managed to stick around, I got a lot of them who are still on the job. Man, we're not doing anything.
Right.
You know, you're going to put the blinders on. You're going to get through your shift. You're not getting jammed up. You're not getting involved in anything because, you know, nobody supports you. You don't have any support up there with the, you know, the city council and the mayor's office.
And here's the thing that people don't understand. The scale of the police department there is about 40,000 men and women, plus or minus. You lose 15%.
Yeah.
That's like losing 6,000 people have left.
Impactful.
Retired and they're out.
Impactful.
If God forbid we lost 15% of the force here in Charlotte, it's devastating.
Yeah, and we talked about it. You know, we're fortunate enough to pick up some of that slack. Mm-hmm. You know, we're people who are coming down that are leaving the department and want to come for and work for a police department that you know, supportive and a community that's supportive and their loss is our gain, but you hit it right on the head. Just absolutely heartbreaking to see what's going on up there. And so you're losing your cops, you're losing your community, you're losing that tax base, you're losing business. You know, what's this going to look like in a couple of years when the smoke clears?
And the irony is bitter because you would say, almost as a punchline, you'd say, well, it's going to look like Detroit, except that police chief in Detroit has done one heck of a job. He's been community active. He's been out there working with people. And that city is coming back. New York is on the descent. Chicago, it's a shooting gallery every night. You want to check out a website, and I know we may have kids in the car, so I'm going to be delicate with what I say the name of the website is. It's Hey Jack A, if you know what I'm saying, but you spell the word, Hey Jack A. And you go on that website, whoever that is, it's got to be a cop or somebody in law enforcement that's keeping track. They have it minute by minute, neighborhood by neighborhood, where the violence is breaking out by specific type of incident. And Chicago, New York,
Los Angeles, just off the highest murder per capita rate in the country now, St. Louis. And they just pulled a big maneuver up there, some stunt, you know, more defunding of the local police department there in St. Louis. So, you know, that's going to make things better.
And the thing is, we just had the anniversary of what happened with George Floyd in Minneapolis. Associated Press is doing a stand-up in the middle of the neighborhood, and you have a drive-by breakout, a running gun battle for about 30, 40 seconds. People are out. It's broad daylight. People, talk about that, if you would, Rob. It's the brazenness now. It's brazen. It's middle of the day.
And just impunity. With impunity. But when you know that there's no accountability for your actions, that's the human nature. It's human nature. Of course, that's what this thing's going to develop into. So when you see these cities that take this less than firm approach to law enforcement and defunding and not prioritizing violent crime and holding people accountable, it's the wild, you know, it sounds cliche, it's the Wild West. You risk life and limb just for living in these communities. And who suffers, by the way? I tell you, it's not these politicians that are pulling the plug on these budgets.
Nope.
You know, they're fine with their security details that, by the way, that we're paying for, right?
That's right.
The gated communities, it's not, you know, they're going to be all right, you know? It's the, you know, the people who are, you know, single mothers that are living in some of these underserved, challenged neighborhoods that have to live constantly just being barraged with gunfire every night, shots into their homes, have to worry about getting their kids off to school in the morning, worried about getting caught up in the crossfire. They're the ones who suffer.
Yep.
Right?
And on top of that, now you're talking about the subways are coming back online. You've got violence breaking out there. You've also got public housing that have issues, challenges as well. And all of this has a cumulative effect. When you have these politicians like Bill de Blasio, and they decide they're going to experiment with people's lives by saying, we're going to defund, we're going to do this, that. This is not a game. I mean, this is body count in the street. And all too often, they look to the men and women of law enforcement to be clean up on aisle three. Hey, take care of this guy who's doing this, this person who's doing that. Well, how am I, I'm just putting myself in the shoes of an officer who's on the beat. How am I supposed to arrest this guy because he's exposing himself on the corner or he's defecating or peeing on the street? I'm going to take him into custody. he's going to be, he's not even bonded. They're not going to get bonded. It's just he's going to, they're going to be like, here's your ticket. See you later.
Yeah, desk appearance ticket.
And two blocks later, he's going to be doing what he's doing.
On a promise that you're going to appear again. He ain't coming back.
He's never coming. Well, he's going to come back when they bring him back in 2 hours later for...
Yeah, and hopefully it's not something more egregious than urinating on a sidewalk, that he's not clipping somebody or robbing somebody or carjacking somebody.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's just it's this turnstile justice system that we've got over there. And you want these men and women to go out there and force and be these guardians in these communities. And, I mean, you got to give them some level of support.
Right. Right. It's an incredible thing. Now, I think there's bright spots because it does seem to me you got Eric Adams is running. He's vowing to crack down, which is a refreshing position.
And encouraging. I mean, a law and order kind of guy. And I knew Eric back in the day when I was with NYPD. He was a firebrand when he was over that black law enforcement fraternity for NYPD. And he has taken, his platform has been law and order and take no prisoners. And it seems to be resonating. I mean, if you believe what the numbers look like, he's giving them a run for his money, for their money up there.
It's a huge story. Hey, can you stick with me for one more segment?
Absolutely.
Okay, we're going to stick around for one more segment because I got other stuff that I want to get into because there's a couple other complications that I want to talk about as well. So I'm not going to tell you what it is. I'm just going to surprise you with this. You know, and then, of course, We'll have a tough question on the way out the door.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
News Talk 1110-993 WBT, Brett Winterbull Show. Rob Tufano with us for this last segment. So if you're looking for Rob Tufano, he's here with me. That's if you got any questions. Here's a question for you, Rob, because I get this, and people will say to me, ask Rob about this. We're seeing what's going on at the border with Mexico. We've got a lot of people coming across the border that are being interdicted and some that are not being interdicted at all. And the question is, are we seeing an uptick in anything as a result from the border crisis that we've got? And by that, I'm not saying just individual migration and things like that, but are we seeing an uptick in drugs or crime, gang activity, things like that? Is there any kind of a comment that you would have on that, like, you know, hemispherically on that?
What I'm seeing is, and what we're seeing is more migrant community members who are being victimized, believe it or not, and armed robbery. Mm-hmm. It continues to spike. They're the victims of armed robberies. And I think there's a couple of things that come into play there. It's, you know, they're notorious, you know, the migrants who come into the country. Some of them are distrustful of the banks, the, you know, the financial institutions here in the country. So they keep large sums of money on them.
Right.
A lot of them are day laborers, you know, so they're working with cash and not checks. And they are easy prey for the criminal element. So definitely seeing a spike in victimization of the migrants. It's gang activity, more narcotics involving that you know, that group from, of the community. I'm not seeing it. You know, and I see the numbers frequently.
And you have a do you have a challenge? Talk about the challenge, not just of the distrust of banks, but they may come from places where law enforcement's not trustworthy or the military's not trustworthy, and they don't want to come to people and report something because they're afraid that something could then turn around and hurt them or happen to them, right?
Oh, and that's just it. You know, as glaring as the numbers are, and to see them victimized at the rate that they're being victimized, I know in my heart of hearts that number is terribly underreported because, to your point, you know, a lot of them come from these countries where you can't call a cop and ask for assistance because, you know, there's going to be some level of corruption or worse.
Right.
And so you've got this distrust barrier, you know, that you're coming, you're working from a deficit in law enforcement. So, yeah, as tough as it is to see, I think that's even underreported.
In terms of what we saw, and this, I think, is an important point, what we saw take place with ransomware, hacking the pipelines, that kind of stuff. Is there an effort made inside CMPD to battle fraudsters and cybercrime and things like that, identity theft? Because again, we're all getting back into the circus. We're getting back into the swing of things. You're going to have COVID passports. You're going to have paperwork, medical stuff. People that get checks from the government. Can you talk a little bit about that? Nonviolent crime, but obviously still certainly stuff that affects people.
Yeah, and we've got a whole unit dedicated to that, professionals dedicated to that. And, you know, some of the trends that we were seeing, especially coming out of the COVID, were, you know, a lot of identity fraud, especially around, you know, checks, these relief checks that were coming, the pandemic relief checks that were coming, setting up fake accounts and other names. You know, you think that it's the violent crime that's really prevalent. That identity theft and the cyber crimes have really, really taken off. And, you know, as egregious as violent crime is, most of us are not really in a position where we'll be impacted by that personally.
Right.
Right? We all run the risk of being a victim of this cyber stuff, and it is just off the chain.
And businesses as well, right? I mean, fake credit cards, this, that, you know, all that sort of stuff. And I think it's important that people understand that when you come and you join the department, you're going to get out there on the streets. You're going to understand that. But there's opportunities for promotion and specialization and things like that, too. Down the road, you may not be on the street for the entirety of your career. You may be specializing in some of these fields where you can really be an advantage.
Oh, and the sky's the limit. I mean, I'd say 75, 80 different specialized units that we have in the department. And, yeah, to your point, you know, start off as a street cop, and the sky's the limit. You want to fly a helicopter? You fly a helicopter. You've got an aviation unit. You want to be on a boat? We got a lake patrol.
Mm-hmm.
You know, be a cyber crimes detective, a sex assault detective, a homicide detective. You know, you just really runs the gamut. Some interpret it as a blue collar kind of gig. Mm-hmm. And this is a professional field, law enforcement, and it's
sure.
really evolved from years ago. You know, the opportunities that present themselves now.
Okay. Here's the final tricky question I have.
I know
for
where you're
okay.
going. I just had a Cheshire grin on your face. Here it comes.
Here we go.
Right.
You ready? Here we go. Yeah. Here we go. Are the criminals getting smarter? This is a question I've always wondered.
Are the criminals getting smarter? Or are we getting dumber?
You're close. The first half is right. Are the criminals getting smarter because there's so much information on the internet? There's these crime procedural shows where you show in your tradecraft how you're going to catch them. Mm. Do you find that they're smarter, or are the criminals still pretty much dumb because they're criminals and they don't really take the time to do the work?
Dumb as rocks.
Oh my gosh! Really? Really?
I guess it varies from incident to incident.
I'm jamming them up. Look
no,
at this.
I think we're always ahead of them, right? We got the best and the brightest. No, I think that there's so much available now. On all kidding aside,
yeah.
So much available now online. And on YouTube, you know, the means and methods that the police use to
right.
Combat crime and, you know, resolve or solve and clear these cases that, a lot of that's accessible now. And if you're a good criminal, you're doing your homework and you're studying and you're getting a PhD in this kind of thing. And
That's the kind of mind you want to have doing good things, not bad things. Right.
Well, it's the dumb ones, I guess, are the ones that we're catching.
Doing the really bad things, you're catching them, absolutely. All right. Finally, you're very, very generous with your time. I want to give you the opportunity. You've got cases that are open. You want to have the community get involved. People may want to be interested in joining the department.
Yeah, please. Let's just start there. You know, again, we were just talking a couple of seconds ago about all the opportunities in this field, and why not do it here at one of the most premier law enforcement organizations in the country. 704-334-1600. That's the number to the Crime Stoppers if you have any information on crime tips and there's reward money. But if you're interested in pursuing a career in policing, give us a look. CharlottePoliceJobs.org. CharlottePoliceJobs.org. Go to the website. Kick it around. It will walk you through every step of the way what it takes to become one of Charlotte Mecklenburg's finest, tremendous, tremendous police department. 50,000 and change to start, 30-year retirement, 401k, tuition reimbursement. Just more benefits and perks than you'd ever consider. CharlottePoliceJobs.org.
And if you have family that are living behind the blue curtain someplace that are getting miserable, lateral, right? You'll take some laterals too.
Yeah, and they're coming. They're coming. They're going to keep on coming, and that's our benefit. Their loss is our gain to have these seasoned, experienced professionals, law enforcement professionals, join the ranks. And they don't have to do a full 6-month academy. There's an abbreviated training academy. So what a wealth of opportunity for us to pull in these men and women from across the country.
Yeah. So you want to pull them in because they can keep up with some of the folks that are coming in here now that are coming in with alternative ideas for making a little cash.
Right. It's like a melting pot, though, right? You know, different ideologies and ideas and opinions. So what to make makes
we all
got to
be prepared,
right? We don't have to, right? We
want to. You need a couple of guys that are going to say, "How you doing?"
Right. What do they say? Variety's the spice of life.
That's the spice of life. Exactly. Rob Tufano, man, I always appreciate catching up with you and. You are always so patient with my crazy questions about the state of things. Let's make sure all of our men and women in uniform, law enforcement, state, local, municipal, county, are being safe this weekend. And as always, we ought to just say it. All right, it's a holiday weekend. Behave yourselves. Don't drink and drive. It's cheaper to get a ride.
Especially you, TJ.
Whoa. TJ is.
He's got that look like he's about to gear up.
TJ's got a solid plan working.
I'm a homebody now.
He's a homebody, man. He's
I'll
going
grill
home.
At home.
He does his grilling at home. See, that's it. But yeah, for sure, you guys. Really, you make sure you're using the car services and stuff because that's a very expensive ride. Otherwise,
you ain't kidding.
Rob Tufano, thanks for coming by, man.
My pleasure.
I'm Brett Witterbull. We're gonna get a break in here coming up. We'll take your phone calls. I got a bunch of big stories that we're gonna take apart as well. And I want to get your thoughts on this as we get into Memorial Day and the weekend. Folks that you may want to be remembering, your remembrances and the importance of this very, very special day. The reason why we are able to get together, have these conversations of consequence, are because that sacrifice has been made. That ultimate sacrifice has been made to keep us free and to celebrate the liberty that we have. Our phone number, 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110, on Twitter, at Witterbull Show. I'm Brett Witterbull. News.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Talk 11. It is the Brett Witterbull Show, News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. Great to be here. 704-570-1110. Number to be a part of the conversation. And everything's fair game here because you know what we are? We are coming into this holiday weekend, and I think it's hugely important to be able to talk about a number of different things that are out there happening, stuff that's going to really impact all of our lives. And, you know, I wanted to dive into something here that I didn't get to pick up on yesterday, so I'm going to, TJ's going to see that I'm going to do an audible here. Matt Gaetz is that congressman from Florida. He did a rally yesterday with MGT, Marjorie Greene Taylor, and they were doing a rally down in Georgia, and they were talking about, you know, basically the MAGA agenda, right? The Make America Great Again agenda. So they're doing this rally down in Georgia, and Gaetz gets up there on the stump, and he starts giving a layout of the vision for the country. And what he starts off with is he's talking about, he says, listen, we have the First Amendment right to gather together to say what it is that we want to say. And he starts going on and on and on about the terror and the evils of big tech, the way big tech is essentially, for lack of a better word, oppressing all of us and suppressing our rights. Big tech is a huge challenge. So I wanted you to hear this clip. This is cut 43. Let's see if we got it. Do we have it? Do you have it? Oh, okay. I got it. I'll reset it to you. So Matt Gaetz is talking about the rights that we have to express ourselves and how big tech is involved in a big way of suppressing our rights. And he starts with the First Amendment. And then he goes into the Second Amendment, and this is what is drawing ire on all the cable channels. And I want you to hear it, and I want to get your reaction. Go.
This is a powerful movement. We are powerful people. As President Trump reminds us, we are the elite now. And so let us use the Constitution to strengthen our argument and our movement. We have a First Amendment right to speak and assemble, and we better use it. The internet's hall monitors out in Silicon Valley, they think they can suppress us, discourage us. Maybe if you're just a little less patriotic, maybe if you just conform to their way of thinking a little more, that you'll be allowed to participate in the digital world. Well, you know what? Silicon Valley can't cancel this movement or this rally or this congressman. We have a Second Amendment in this country, and I think we have an obligation to use it. The Second Amendment, this is a little history lesson for all the fake news media. The Second Amendment is not about It's not about hunting. It's not about recreation. It's not about sports. The Second Amendment is about maintaining within the citizenry the ability to maintain an armed rebellion against the government if that becomes necessary. I hope it never does, but it sure is important to recognize the founding principles of this nation and to make sure that they are fully understood.
Okay, so I imagine people have opinions on what he just said, that you have a First Amendment and then you have a Second Amendment, and that the Second Amendment needs to be utilized because of the foundations of our republic. I am not disputing that factually that is what the intent of the Second Amendment was. It has been redefined to being, hey, you have a right to go hunt deer, you have a right to hunt bear, you have a right to, you know, whatever. But it's always interesting to me because there are people who immediately go to an armed rebellion or when are we going to have a civil war, or a civil war is coming and we need to. And I always ask the same question, and it's a dead serious question. I always ask, okay, so you think a civil war is coming. Who are the sides? Who are the sides? It's a tough question. So if you're going to say we have got to use our Second Amendment rights to preserve our right to have a rebellion, who are you rebelling against? So are you rebelling against, let's take it from the micro. Are you rebelling against your county government? Are you rebelling against your city government? Are you rebelling against your state government? So are you going to go take on the state? Are you taking on Washington, D.C.? Are you taking on one element of Washington, D.C.? Like, what does this look like? Now, I understand what the impetus could be for a situation like this. And I'll give you an example. I got a couple more clips for you. Sam Liccardo is the mayor of San Jose. Now, he has decided that you gun owners are the problem with what happened at that shooting at that rail yard in San Jose. Sam Liccardo says, we're going to introduce new rules in the next couple of months. And he gets very specific, and I think this is going to be the next round of gun regulation, because all the bad ideas come out of California. All the bad ideas come out of California. This is cut number 41. Cut number 41, Sam Liccardo. He wants to use taxes and fees to restrict your gun ownership. Go.
Put the pieces in place, both on liability insurance as well as a fee that would ensure that the public would stop paying for the cost of gun violence, as we see is incurred in emergency rooms every day in cities throughout this country. We have had to work very steadily and carefully because of restrictions in state and federal law to ensure that we have the data that will support those fees and insurance mandates. I expect that I'll get that in front of the council here in San Jose within the next 2 months.
So philosophically, here's how this will work, because I know where this is going to go, because I'm able to see, as Rush would say, I'm able to see the stitching on a fastball. What he's going to say is, we tax cigarette smokers a tax to buy cigarettes. And we use that money to fund a variety of programs, smoking cessation programs. We use it to fund health programs. We use it to fund pre-K programs. So he's going to say we need to do fees to offset the cost of violence in Santa Clara County and in the city of San Jose. So we're going to charge everyone who wants to buy a gun. They're going to get charged a $10,000 fee. I'm just making up a number. A $10,000 fee that's going to get paid to the city so that you're allowed to have a gun. That's what he's going to say. He's also going to say, and this is the more pernicious one, you have to go get yourself $1 million life. You have to go get yourself $1 million insurance policy on each gun that you buy. And you have to carry that and pay for that if you want to practice your Second Amendment rights. They're going to try to bury you in the way that DiFi once fantasized about, which was to say, okay, we're going to put a 10,000% tax on every bullet you buy, so that it becomes so expensive, you will not go and buy bullets.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips.
Learn more about Kisqali ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Be careful. It is wet out there, and you want to be patient with your travels. It is the Brent Winterbull Show. Great to be here with you, 704-570-1110. Yeah, so what we hear from this mayor over in San Jose is sort of a roadmap, I think, for gun ownership and for how it is that you're going to be allowed to practice your Second Amendment rights. I'm one of these people that believes in the happy medium. I don't want to see an armed rebellion, and I don't want to see confiscation of my firearms. And I know millions of people share that same sort of feeling around the country, because the truth of the matter is, we're in this place today where people are awfully tense. And I make no bones about this fact. I believe in all the amendments to the Bill of Rights. I believe in all the amendments. I believe in all the freedoms that are there and present. And they were written there on purpose. And I don't believe a politician in 2021 can come in and just kind of decide they're going to amputate different parts of the, you know, different parts of the Bill of Rights. I think it's a different world than many of them believe. And when you have these people, like take the city of Chicago, for example. The only people that are disarmed in the city of Chicago are the law-abiding residents of the city of Chicago. Gang members, criminals, people that come in from out of state, they are people who are free to go and acquire firearms illegally if they want. Legally, not likely, because many of them are going to have records. But they're free to go and practice the mayhem they want to practice. And that is wrong. Because as we look at the picture out there, as Rob was saying, Rob Tufano was talking about this, who are the people that suffer at the hands of these policies? It's the regular, honest, working people who are worried about their kids getting home safe from school, or who have to worry about going to the store, or have to worry about any number of things that we're looking at here. You know, I just find it striking to look at the situation and to say, okay, we're not going to allow you to have a defense mechanism in your home. You have a right to self-defense. You have a right to you have a right to do the sorts of things that anybody else can do. The right to be secure in your possessions, the right to be secure in your home, the right to defend yourself if somebody comes through your window in the middle of the night. Far too often, we have gone to a place in this society where we give greater consideration to those who refuse to follow the rules. We give them these dispensations. We give them these dispensations rather than holding them to account. So we're going to defund the police. Like, think about this for a second. You defund the police, you demoralize the police, you get rid of cash bail, you get people out of the jails, you empty the jails like they're doing in California. How does any of that improve the lot of life of people who are just getting up, going to work and paying their taxes every day? Somebody tell me how that works that way. It doesn't make any sense. And so when Sam Liccardo says, okay, this nutcase goes on a shooting rampage over at the VTA, if I were to pretend to be a liberal for a moment, my response would be, damn it, we have got to outlaw the VTA. We have got to stop people from working at the VTA. It's not the gun's fault. It's the public transit authority's fault, because the guy worked for the public transit authority. Let's go see what books he had on his shelf. Let's go see, why are we not sitting back and finding out where this guy is in terms of, you know, where this guy is in terms of his mental health? That's a problem. That's a problem. And so when you look at the picture out there, when you look at the conversation that's happening, the default position should be that you are supposed to be you are supposed to be allowed to defend yourself. It is a sacred right. And there's a lot of people that suffer, unfortunately, from halapophobia, which is the fear of weapons. You should have a fear of crazy people. You should have, and I don't mean insane people. I'm saying dangerous people. You should have a fear of criminals. You should have a fear of dangerous people. You should have a fear of those things. Those are people that are going to perpetrate violence against you, potentially. This guy that went and attacked the VTA yard is a prime example. It's his fault. It's not the fault of the firearm that was used. That's an inanimate object. But halapophobia is very in vogue. And that is a fear of weapons, a fear of weaponry. It is very in vogue with the progressive left. They would never have the courage to say, we've got to get rid of cars. Cars are too dangerous. They run people over. The cars crash into people when the people driving the cars are drunk. We have to outlaw cars. Cars have got to be. We should not be allowed to drive a car faster than 1 mile an hour, darn it, because they kill people. Cars should not be allowed to weigh any more than 37 pounds because they kill people. Guns kill people. Cars kill people.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
It is the Brett Winterbull Show, News Talk 1110 993 WBT. Time to cross the streams. Me and Bo Thompson getting together. How are you, Bo Thompson? Welcome back to the program.
Hey, always great to be here. It's not the weekend until I talk to you.
Well, you know what? We are in the weekend mode. It is wonderful. Great job today with John Hancock. Always happy to hear from Hancock. Wonderful to have you here as well.
Hey, it was fun. He comes in every once in a while, and he was back today. And we talked about how great you are doing in the afternoon, carrying on the torch. And by the way, I don't know if you heard Robert Boyd. Yesterday, he was on talking about his father, Ty, the late Ty Boyd, who is going to have his memorial service a week from today. But Robert Boyd was saying very nice things about you, too. I just want to make sure you know that. You may have heard it, but just in case you didn't, he's a fan.
I so appreciate his kind words, and the family is legendary, and it's wonderful to have been welcomed in like this. And I'm so sorry that he lost his dad, an amazing man, and I'm looking forward to getting to know them a lot better. And so I do appreciate that. Can I brag on Bo Thompson for a minute? Bo Thompson's famous, ladies and gentlemen. Bo, there's a trade publication in talk radio called Talkers. I mean, anybody can go look at it. It's talkers.com. Talkers is sort of the Bible of talk radio. And Bo Thompson is featured in this upcoming episode of the Weekly Wrap podcast that Michael Harrison, a good friend to all of us in talk radio who runs Talkers, he puts together. And he's had Bo Thompson in there to talk about a number of the pressing issues right here in Charlotte, including 2040 and a number of other things. And he had the chance to interview you, and you're going to be featured this weekend across the country.
Yeah, I had a chance to hear it a little while ago. They just posted it within the last couple of hours. And yeah, Michael Harrison reached out, and he has it's a podcast, and it's also a show that various stations syndicate on the weekends, you know, or take the syndicated show on the weekends, kind of as a wrap up of the week. And every week he takes about five or six different talk show hosts from across the country and asks them their thoughts on events of the week. And then of course wants to know what was hot on their radio stations that week. And so, I spent about 8 or 9 minutes with him, and he was interested in how the transition has gone in the wake of Governor McCrory's decision to run for Senate. And we talked a little bit about the evolution of the morning show and where that's going and some of the other stuff going on this week. But yeah, and right back at you, because Michael Harrison has several different things, you know, projects that he works on.
Right.
And there's another series that he does called the Michael Harrison Interview. And you were featured in that, about 5 or 6 months ago?
Yeah.
And, you know, these are the titans of talk radio. And you were in there, and I listened to that podcast. And you know, one of the episodes, I mentioned this on the air this morning, but one of the episodes that was close to the one you did was with Shadow Stevens.
Oh, yes.
who I grew up listening to because he took over for Casey Kasem all those years ago. But, you know, it's a who's who of talk radio. So as soon as I would love for people to listen to the Harrison rap this week, you should also check out the Michael Harrison interview, because the one he did with you, and he did one with Governor McCrory, too.
Right.
They were both great.
It's great stuff. It just is wonderful stuff. Let's dive into the weird, wacky world of some news stories that are out there that have got me kind of intrigued, and I think they will with you as well. COVID is obviously a huge topic. Obviously, people are talking a lot about the search for the source of COVID-19 in this latest go-round. In fact, New York Post reporting, inside China's exhaustive search for COVID-positive animals that don't exist, they've been trying to find a bat that's got the coronavirus. They can't find a bat that's got the coronavirus that's spread out all over the world. The lab leak is looking more promising there, Bo.
Well, you know, they've been talking about the bat for so long. It's almost like you expect to be there and walking down a dark alley, and all of a sudden, there's the bat.
There it is.
I mean, it's almost like it's this sinister, I don't know what it looks like, but it looks evil. But we've been hearing about it for so long that, yeah, you're right. But it's getting less and less likely that someone's going to catch the sinister animal. And maybe there's a different point of origin.
Yeah, it's very possible. It's very possible. All right, the second story, sort of on the lighter side of things, maybe not for the people involved, but for us. Everybody knows cryptocurrency is the hot thing that people talk about. Bitcoin, Ethereum, Dogecoin. You name it. People are talking about it all over the place. My son is very intrigued by this whole world. And it's not, but every couple of weeks I get pitched on this idea. Hey, Dad, what we need to do is set up a Bitcoin miner that'll mine for Bitcoin 24/7, 365. So to get Bitcoin, you have to solve mathematical equations, and you get closer and closer to getting a Bitcoin, to finding it. There's a finite amount of it that exists, and you have to solve mathematical equations to find the Bitcoins. The downside is it uses a ton of electricity. I mean, it uses a lot of electricity. And so over in England, British cops were searching for a pot farm because there was a lot of electricity being used at a location. They ended up uncovering a Bitcoin mining operation that was illegally stealing electricity. So these guys weren't growing grass. These guys were trying to grow green of another sort. The officers said they found a bank of around 100 computers trying to create cryptocurrency at a site that they were told was a marijuana farm outside Birmingham. Holy cow, Bo Thompson, the news cycle moves so quickly. How are we to keep up with this?
I don't know. I'm still trying to figure out what non-fungible tokens really are. I've had Teresa on in the morning. I've had the Hornets debuted their own NFT a week ago. And I don't know how it is around your house, but in my house, the older my kids get, the more you have more people draining on the data.
Oh, yeah.
You know, on the phones. And what you're talking about here with the the use of electricity and I'm sure data, I think ultimately this is all going to be one big scam that is going to drain everyone's data and then hike up your cell phone and your bandwidth bill each month. But yeah, I mean, my kids aren't so much into that yet, but I feel like it's probably down the road.
The Bitcoin mining thing is just these things, these machines that do the mining are just basically, tweaked computers. Okay, they're just like computers that don't look like computers, and they're like $40,000 each. Okay, and then they use your electricity, so there is no break even. You're not breaking even. You know who's going to love you? Duke Energy is going to love you for using all their product to try to find Bitcoin. It's just it's Looney Tunes. And
of course, even if you don't come up, that's the thing. It's not just finding something. I mean, I guess it's almost kind of like it's like gambling in a way, because
sure.
You know, you're putting money in the machine and you may or may not hit the jackpot. But in this case, you're putting money or you're using data and electricity, but there's not necessarily a payoff, except you're going to pay for the process of trying to get it.
That's right. So look, Bo, if you had bought Bitcoin in 2014 at $582, if you'd taken all your life savings and bought that, you know, it'd be worth a lot of money, because I mean, now it's $34,000 for a Bitcoin. Back then it was only $582.
Can you imagine how many NFTs I'd be able to buy with that money?
You could buy so many NFTs and then Bitcoin mining machines and all of it. Dogecoin. It's hard. You know what? We've gone to peak. We've just gone to peak hysteria with just trying to do stuff like this.
I just want my quarter, and I want to go play Ms. Pac-Man. And be done.
I'm right there. I'm with you, man. I'm right there. I want to sit down where you can eat the pizza and play the video game at the same time.
Yeah.
That's what I'm. Maybe a little Tempest. I'll spin the wheel back and forth.
Little Pizza Hut action.
All right. Finally, Bo Thompson. It's a Memorial Day weekend. So you're not? Are you live on Monday?
I am. Well, my show's live on Monday. I am off on Monday.
Okay.
Jesse Kelly, who is on Sunday mornings, and he actually has a nationally syndicated show during the week, and he was on with me about 2 weeks ago in the 9 to 10 for a day. He is hosting Monday morning, and so he'll start at 6 and go till 9 a.m., and then Pete Callender will do 9 to noon that day ahead of. Not on Monday, but WBT is live Monday.
So who you got on Tuesday? Are you revealing who your guest will be Tuesday?
Yes, Beth Troutman will be back with me on Tuesday.
Very nice.
We have Sharon Thorsland on Wednesday. I'm actually sitting in my car in the pouring down rain today.
It's okay. No. That's what you give it. You've given us a good start, because on Tuesday we'll talk and then we'll pitch the rest of the week. See how that works?
Exactly. Well, there you go. I like it. But I am glad you asked about that, because Friday, a week from today, is, like I said at the beginning of this, the celebration of life. Service for Ty Boyd, and we're going to do a Ty Boyd tribute hour on Friday for an hour, and so I'm looking forward to that, and some great audio of his classic days on the radio station. So yeah, big week next week coming up, and for some reason I cannot remember Thursday, but it's not in front of me, so it's going to be great. Trust me,
it's going to be great. Bo Thompson, be careful driving around out there. Enjoy your weekend and a happy Memorial Day. We'll pick it up next week.
Back at you, man. Take care.
You got it, buddy. News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT, Brett Witterbull Show. Oh, look at that time on the clock.
It's your favorite time of the day.
You know, it's my favorite time of the week. Mark Garrison, yes. you are the man who runs Charlotte at 6.
On a good day,
you
yeah.
decide which restaurants get outed and which ones don't. You are a man of power.
Well, I don't know. I'm just glad it's Friday. Yeah,
I am too. You know, really, for real. What a difference a year makes in terms of Memorial Day.
That's the truth. Last week it was hide under your chairs, don't go out, and don't go to the beach. And this year it's like, hey, help yourself, go to the beach.
Yeah. That's it. Go nuts. That's right. So what do we got coming up on the show?
But COVID is still with us. 6:05, bribing people to take the COVID shots. Coming to Mecklenburg County, they're going to start handing out $25 gift cards next week. They're even going to give it to the person who drives you there.
Are you kidding me?
And that's got scam written all over it, right?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
We'll see how it works out. Hey, so I'm going to play a sound for you. Tell me if you know what this is. You know what that is?
Is that a tire blowout?
No, one more time. It's really cool, actually. It is a hail cannon that I saw in action. It protects peaches at a farm in South Carolina from thunderstorms and hail.
Wow.
It's a must-stop for people headed to the beach because they make homemade peach ice cream.
Oh, really, man. You got to protect those peaches.
Pam Warner stops by with the weird news of the week, and she'll tell us how much weight she's losing, I'm sure.
That's good stuff.
Yeah. And then the perfect Memorial Day story, newly patented version of the American flag made right here in North Carolina.
Wow.
From whiskey barrels.
Whoa!
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It is, yeah.
Somebody asked me if they're having apparently some sort of a dispute with their neighbor. Can they borrow the hail gun to settle some disputes?
Scare them half to death, yeah.
All right. Mark Harrison, we got you coming up, buddy. All right. Mark Harrison, Charlotte at 6 is going to be next. Let me go out and talk to, I'm going to talk to Mike. Mike, thanks for holding on. You want to talk about the gun issue that we were talking about in San Jose. What's going on?
Yeah, you know, they want to tax guns and our bullets and everything. But how many people die from alcohol-related incidences every day?
That's a good point. But they do tax alcohol. And state concerns sell alcohol, even though people die from it.
Right. But they don't tax it to the extent that they want to tax, like, our firearms.
Oh, yeah. Listen, that's
all I want to say.
That's, you're exactly right, 100% right, and I can attest to it, having lived in a place where you had to do a separate background check to buy ammunition. So it's like, hey, what do you want that? What do you want with that? Oh, I'm buying some ammunition. What is the purpose of the buying of the ammunition? To fire my gun. Well, go ahead and fill this form out. We're going to run a background check on you for the ammo. Okay, what's the waiting period like on that? Oh, no, it's very quick. Okay, so if the ammo is instant, why is it 10 days on purchasing a firearm in this particular jurisdiction? Well, that's because we have to make sure everybody's safe. Yeah, because everybody knows a criminal is going to say, man, I'm going to go take that guy out. Put this on the calendar 10 days from now is when I'm going to, because then I'll be able to get, come on. As Joe Biden would say, come on, man. Look, this is an incredible opportunity to get out and celebrate America. Do it. Memorial Day weekend. On Monday, you need to remember the sacrifices that have allowed us to live in the greatest country in the world under God. It's important to remember that. It's also important to celebrate, because that's what those men and women would want us to do, to celebrate the miracle of America. Thanks to TJ, Boomer, Anna, Mark, Brett Jensen, Josh, and each and every one of you. News Talk 1110 993 WBT.